All right, we're going to have some fun off the top here, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. It is the Joe Starkey Show, but you know this is not Joe Starkey's voice. Our pal Horse was a bit hoarse yesterday, so he was unable to go today. Donnie Football in for Joe until 2 o'clock. And I have to thank the guys from the morning show for sticking around for a few minutes. Harry Callis in here making a very special appearance. Adam Crowley sticking around because I did want to keep talking Backyard Brawl as we got things underway this morning. It is a huge football Friday. Steelers getting ready for the Denver Broncos on Sunday, but the big one in town tomorrow afternoon, 3:30, Adams Mountaineers, Doran Dickerson's Pitt Panthers. No Doran for the last couple of days. Is he going to be good to go tomorrow, the sideline man?
I think today he could have come in. I think he would have been participating.
Limited.
Yeah, he would have been in a limited capacity.
Would have been Russell Wilson.
Yes, so he wanted to get right for tomorrow, and he texted me in the middle of the day yesterday. He said, I think I'll be good to go. I said, listen, big game on Saturday. If you need to sleep in, sleep in. And I don't think he was anywhere near 100%, so he should be tomorrow.
Are you still going to be on the sideline with him?
No. No, I don't think they want me down there. No one's told me that, just an assumption. I would not think they would want me down there.
That was never a thing. He just asked. That was never supposed to happen.
Never a thing.
Well, Doran said he would get me down there. Who's going to tell Doran no?
That's true. I mean, it almost could have been like the dynamic that Limits and I have, Limits Behind the Glass, Austin Bechtold. He does a great job with social media on High School Football Fridays.
Do you guys just stay attached at the hip the entire time?
No, not the entire time. You know, I'm obviously doing my thing. I got to have the microphone in my hand. And, you know, Limits has to go around and, you know, get the good angles of the big plays. But, yeah, there are times where we're crossing over. And then, obviously, the big interviews at the end of the game.
Sure.
Yeah, I venture off a little bit. Follow Ben Tenuta around sometimes. Try to hit the end zone, the sidelines.
Good guy to follow, that Ben Tenuta.
He's something else.
Do you have a good feel on this brawl? Because I don't. I really don't. Like, I feel like we know what it's going to probably look like. I do think there's going to be points like 2 years ago. I can't predict with any level of confidence which team I really think is going to win the game. I did pick West Virginia, but come on, heart, head. But I don't have a great feel on who's going to win.
The only feel that I have is that we are in for a much better game than we were last year. I mean, we joked about it right before we came on. The biggest loser last year in that brawl was the viewer. That game was awful. I mean, it was horrible on a Pitt end of things. They scored 6 points. Phil Jurkovec looked terrible. That was the point where people thought, okay, we're in for a really long season.
Yeah.
With what's happening here. West Virginia at least won the game and ended up having a much better season than anticipated. But all in all, that game was ugly as could be.
It was ugly and beautiful for me all at once, Donnie Football. But it was an eyesore for the national audience to take in. Both teams had 211 yards. Both teams. I think at least one has over 211 yards in the first half of this game. That's the one thing I feel pretty good about, is that it's going to be an offensive kind of performance. You know, Pitt's pass defense hasn't been probably what Pat Narduzzi would like it to be through two games. I know West Virginia's pass defense ain't been what they want it to be through two games, and both quarterbacks are capable of putting up big yardage numbers and points any given Saturday.
I like West Virginia's rushing attack a whole lot, too. Donaldson's been a good player for a few years. Jaheim White was not in this game last season, but that dude can bounce out for a big play. 7.4 yards per carry.
Donaldson
has 6.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, and they come at it totally different ways. And Pitt fans are familiar with Donaldson because of both of the last 2 years. But the first game, he was recruited as a tight end, and then they debuted him as a running back. He blocked a punt in the first game, too. So he's had his mark on the series. West Virginia really ratcheted up the offensive production last year when Jaheim White became part of the proceedings. I look at him and Desmond Reed very similarly. Like, both can hit the home run anytime they touch the ball, catching it or rushing it. They use both guys in similar fashions, both diminutive in stature. This is a game that I'm sure that I forget already. That's how this goes. I'm sure there was a nice national audience watching it last season. The numbers the first year were good. This is a game that should keep people's attention because I do think both offenses are going to go up and down the field.
Something else I've given Pat Narduzzi a lot of credit for, because he can be viewed as a very old school guy, as you know, as Doran very well knows, someone that wants to rely on his defense and more of pounding the football. He took a more modern step at the way that college football is going. He hired Cade Bell. He hired a very fast-paced, potentially high-scoring offensive coordinator. I think he deserves a lot of credit for that, and I think they seem to have, at least in a few cases, the right players in place. I mean, Desmond Reed is somebody who came over with Cade Bell. And he looks like one of the most dynamic Pitt offensive players in years, and that's saying something.
He might be, when it's all said and done this year, one of the most dynamic players in the country, Desmond Reed. The way they utilize him, the speed he has. I just saw the Draft Network tweeted this like 2 minutes ago. Five ACC players that you haven't thought about getting drafted that might, and the cover picture was Desmond Reed. I also think just listening to Cade Bell and hearing guys like Pat Bostic and my cohort Doran Dickerson talk, he's fun, Cade Bell. He's fun. He installs things in practice that they didn't do the week before, and then they're going to run them that following week. They don't script things in practice. That's not generally the way it goes. It's certainly not the way it's gone around here. So you don't know what he's even going to call offensively in practice, which I think has to help keep the defense on their toes too. But he seems like an energetic guy. I bet, and Pat Bostic and I were talking about this yesterday, I bet he hangs out at Pitt for a couple of years, and he's going to be either a hot coordinator for like an LSU. We saw Matt Canada do that. Or he's going to wind up being a head coach of like Tulane or something. This guy, I think, is a meteoric rising star in the industry, Cade Bell.
I kind of like the idea of not scripting things out as much. Austin and I actually had a college game, a D3 game, PAC game last week. Grove City, their mindset offensively, they don't script anything out. They just kind of wait to see what the defense is going to throw at them, like based on film, whatever.
Yeah.
They go into the game and they get the feel and they get going. It didn't seem to stop them one bit. Now, maybe a little bit of an apples to oranges comparison there, you know, given the competition level that we were watching. But I kind of grew to that idea a little bit more because I feel like sometimes coaches get caught up in that and it could be a big detriment. If things aren't going well, they just try to keep pushing the script through 15 to 20 plays, whatever it may be.
And Neil Brown on the flip side is totally the opposite. Like Neil, I think he's a really good coach, a really good program runner up until game day, and then he's left some things to be desired, and they've lost some close games. His record could be much better, but they've lost a ton of one-score games. But at the beginning of every game, they're running a script. And then a couple of years ago, when the offense was really struggling and they just didn't have the quarterback or the guys, they would run a script again to start the second half, which I hadn't heard about a lot of other coaches doing. So you have two different styles that are going to make this fight in this game. Pitt wants to go 100 miles an hour on offense, and they say they want to run plays every 9 seconds. That's not realistic. They're doing it about 20, but still one of the faster tempos in the country. West Virginia can score points. They did last year, but they like to control the clock. They like to have that time of possession look a lot like what we saw in Atlanta last weekend with the Steelers and the Falcons.
If there's a big fourth and one around midfield tomorrow for West Virginia, close game, how do you think that one should go?
So I'm in the minority on this. I didn't have too big of a problem with Neil punting the last time. It was a great punt. You forced the offense to go 92 yards. And we saw Pat Narduzzi have a similar situation in State College, right? Kicking that field goal.
Yep.
It happens, but it should not happen again. And really, I was a dummy in the past for thinking that. You're on the road. You had C.J. Donaldson. It's a rivalry. You can take their soul on that play. You go try to take the soul. No guarantee. Hey, Pitt's rush defense could have bowed up in that minute, in that moment. We've seen it from Pat Narduzzi's rush defense in the past. That's what Neil said. They've got a great rush defense, especially on those situations. But you know what? It's a backyard brawl. It shouldn't come down to some Australian kid, right? It should come down to some dude who wanted to come to West Virginia or come to Pitt to shove it up the other school's backside. And I think if given the situation again, that Neil Brown would change and do the opposite. And I do think if it came down to it on the flip side, I think Narduzzi's trying to take the soul too and trying to win the game, being physical as opposed to kicking the ball on fourth down.
What was your score prediction again?
30-27 with the Mountaineers.
I'm going to let you guys get out of here. Harry, what are your thoughts on this game? You've been you were listening to Adam and Doran go back and forth for most of the week.
I try to just tease Adam whenever we do the show because I'm blindly siding with Pitt.
Blindly?
And I don't like West Virginia. Yeah, well, my family has some Pitt alumni, so I'm like, you know what? Yeah, let's cheer for the Panthers, and this is the flagship station of Pitt.
Yes, it is.
And so that's also a factor in this. I said on the early morning show, 27-10 Pitt.
27-10?
That's my prediction.
That's an ass-kicking.
I hope I don't go all Tom Brady prior to the 07 Super Bowl, but remember when Brady said, you really think we're only going to score 14 points?
Oh, yeah.
And then that's what happened? You really think we're only going to score 10 points? Because that ain't the way it's going to go.
I have spoken.
Well, guys, I'm going to let you get out of here. I know Adam has a few things to attend to. Harry, you as well. Maybe got to get a nap in or something. But I do appreciate you guys. I do appreciate you guys sticking around for a minute to talk Backyard Brawl. I'm going to keep yapping here. We are going to have a little giveaway for the people out there. So Austin will take your calls. You can call in to win two tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival at the Pavilion at Star Lake. That is on September 14th. That is tomorrow. So if you don't have plans to go to the Backyard Brawl, maybe you're not a massive football fan, tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival at the Pavilion at Star Lake tomorrow, September 14th. We're going to have some Backyard Brawl trivia, Austin, to determine who wins those tickets. I do want to keep talking Backyard Brawl, though, while we are already on the subject, because some of the big discussions that we've had this week, you know, around the city, I've even had with friends, let alone the significance of the game itself and some of the classic games in this series. You know, you think 2007, the 13-9 game. You think of games like back in 1970 when Pitt had a big comeback. You think of some of the great games in the early to mid-2000s and even further back. I mean, they've been playing this game for well over 100 years. The question that rose up, though, a lot this week was, is this game a bigger deal than Pitt-Penn State? And it really did make me think, because going into it, I hadn't pondered it a whole lot. Pony and Chris brought it up. I'm sure these guys brought it up. I believe Joe and Austin had conversations about it. I've had friends bring it up. We've had discussions. I actually do see the argument that the Pitt-Penn State games carry more in terms of a heated rivalry than what we get from WVU. And I know that Austin is more of a Penn State fan, and I know he could speak on this from the Penn State fan perspective here. I do see the argument that Pitt-Penn State, we don't see it a whole lot, but it feels like Pitt fans at least care a whole lot more about Penn State than they do West Virginia. Do you get that vibe?
Yeah, I'll throw a little shade back at Pony from yesterday, who was yesterday or the day before, that was ridiculing a caller for saying they're a Pitt and a Penn State fan. Now, like,
I know you like to toe that line,
because I toe that line as well, and people say, oh, that's like a cardinal sin to be able to do that. I don't really care. That's what I do. Get over it. Anyway, in terms of the rivalry, I think that it's important in the Pitt-Penn State rivalry that, one, part of it, the Penn State people that say, oh, we don't need to play Pitt, like, they're not unrivaled. It's a lie, Donnie. It's a lie, at least from what I think. Like, everything with unrivaled, Pitt is a true rival. Penn State people don't want to admit it. And I feel like the Pitt people don't want to admit that Penn State is their true rival because of the pure hatred for Penn State football and not being able to get over the hump against them, mainly because Pitt and West Virginia is a lot closer of a rivalry. Not just proximity, but those games are typically closer. There's typically, you see more balance. More balance in that matchup, where Pitt might win two in a row, West Virginia might win three in a row. Maybe you go back and forth, where Penn State has kind of dominated the Pitt-Penn State rivalry. So I think that factors into a little bit as well. And I just think that, especially here, Allegheny County, where Penn State has the most grads of any county in the entire state, Allegheny County, where Pitt is located. That's a big deal, I think, for Pitt fans. They might not know that, but there are a ton of Pitt and Penn State, just a conglomerate of alumni and fans that are in Allegheny County and the surrounding counties, I think more so than West Virginia. And, I mean, people were texting in the other day saying that there's rivalries at their workplaces between Penn State and Pitt based off different things, and it's not the same with West Virginia.
The way I kind of look at it is that the hatred does seem to be there for West Virginia fans looking at Pitt. I at least don't sense it quite the same way for Pitt looking at West Virginia, because I think there is some respect and appreciation there between the two fan bases, because they are two sides that actually acknowledge the rivalry. They acknowledge the feud that has been ongoing for over 100 years. We took some breaks in between. We had a decade off until we got it two seasons ago. But I at least can look at it as a Pitt fan, maybe not a diehard Pitt fan, but I have respect for West Virginia due to their acknowledgement that this rivalry exists, that the backyard brawl is a real thing. I do have more hatred for Penn State because I don't like the sense of people on a pedestal. I almost feel the same way about Notre Dame. I think you can make the argument that Pitt-Notre Dame might be more heated, because Notre Dame, more than any school in the country, they're on the highest pedestal that you could possibly find. Like, that school that looks down upon others, like, oh, you are not our rival. Penn State kind of gives that to Pitt. Like, they kind of give, like, the big brother, like, they push him down, like, they keep him at arm's length, they keep him away. It's like the image where, like, the big brother has his hand on little brother's head, the little brother's swinging at him but can't quite reach him. It's like that feeling. Pitt is the little brother in that situation, and I think that's a reason why the hatred is a lot stronger.
And Penn State does not have a true conference rival. I mean, Ohio State is the closest thing to it. But I mean,
but that's
Ohio State, Ohio State, Michigan. I mean, that's their rival. Can you have multiple? Yeah, I think so. But one typically takes a lot more weight. That's why I think Penn State, the rival is Pitt. If it can be renewed because of just the amount of distances and time, if you will, that this rivalry is played. Like, they'll play it in a four-year spurt, and then it probably will not be played for another 10 years. If that, maybe it's going to be longer. I credit West Virginia for wanting to play the game, and I credit Pitt for wanting to play the game against each other. And maybe that makes it, as generations continue to grow older, that becomes more of a rivalry. But I still think for a lot of older Pitt fans and a lot of Pitt fans maybe in their 30s, 40s, same thing with Penn State fans, they remember those matchups against, because it was always a conference game against West Virginia. A little bit different when you're playing Penn State, and yeah, at one point was, but at the same time, that feels like more of an event than the backyard brawl, I think, was. Just my personal opinion, because that was every single year, where Pitt-Penn State was more of a circle the calendar type of thing.
Another way I think you can look at it and find it pretty easily how fans want to lean on this, think about when those teams that are involved lose. Think about how Pitt fans feel when West Virginia loses. Me, I mean, and I'm not speaking for everybody here, I don't really mind if West Virginia loses or wins. You know, I'm not caught on the edge of my seat if West Virginia is in a tough game with Texas Tech down the stretch, or Baylor, or Oklahoma State. Like, I'm not all caught up on West Virginia losing a game. Penn State, I think Pitt fans at large would say they are much more satisfied if Penn State loses a game to Illinois or Maryland or Purdue. And they're always rooting, at least almost always, I would think, Pitt fans are rooting for Ohio State. They're rooting for Michigan when they play Penn State. That's why I kind of think Notre Dame is along the same wavelength. Maybe it's just me not being a Notre Dame fan in any way, shape, or form, and, you know, just kind of downright hating the school. But think of last week. We got home from the game we were doing, Austin. Notre Dame was in a dogfight with Northern Illinois. They end up losing the game. I was on the edge of my seat for that game, hoping and praying, oddly enough with Notre Dame involved, hoping and praying that Northern Illinois was going to win that game. And think about how many people around here were probably doing the same thing. I don't feel that way with West Virginia.
No. No, I don't either, because I grew up a Pitt fan. The Penn State thing is more of an adopted trait because my sister goes there. I'm getting my master's from there, and it's kind of been developed over the last 5 years. So, like, I get it. The West Virginia thing, Notre Dame, I feel like, do you remember probably 10 years ago, Pitt and Notre Dame played on Halloween, and that was like the talk of the town, biggest buzz, I think, any sporting event at that time. Such a huge game. And I always think back to just those old school rivalries against Notre Dame. And it doesn't upstage West Virginia, but a lot of different programs feel that with Notre Dame and actively root for Notre Dame to lose. It's finally when I think the country comes together for one collective cause against one team. And of course, it's the Catholic, we're better than you, Notre Dame, Golden Domers that don't pick a conference.
10:35. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. See what they can do for you. Donnie Football in for Joe. Our pal Horse is a little bit hoarse. So I am guiding the sleigh until 2 p.m. That's when Andrew and Chris will take over on a big football Friday. The Steelers getting set for a matchup with the Denver Broncos. We'll get into a lot of that next hour. Ray Fittipaldo joins us at 11. Austin Bechtold with me behind the glass, our guy, City Limits. And we're going to play some Backyard Brawl trivia. However, before that, Limits, early returns on the Twitter poll I put out there, and I'm starting to just gather. I don't think Notre Dame is necessarily a biggest rival for anybody. I think they are just universally hated. Because I put out the question, who do you view as Pitt's biggest rival? WVU, Penn State, Notre Dame, other. Notre Dame, just 1% of the vote, about 100 votes in.
Yeah, that's nothing. I think their biggest rival is probably USC. But USC...
Slash everybody. Yeah, we all hate them.
USC would claim UCLA.
Right.
So, I don't know. They play each other every year. One of the last games of the year, USC and Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm starting to gather that we all just hate Notre Dame, which I'm good with. I'm good with a universal hatred of Notre Dame. Don't worry about that. Fan Hotline, that is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That is where we are going to go. If you want to try and win tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival at the Pavilion at Star Lake, that is tomorrow night. Out at Star Lake, 412-928-9370. We are playing some Backyard Brawl trivia. I don't think the questions are super difficult. Maybe they are. I don't know. I'll let Austin try to answer one or two if we do get a very early correct answer. I have five ready to go. I have five in the chamber, so hopefully one of these calls ends up getting it right. 412-928-9370. We will start with Greg in Cecil. What's up, Greg?
Doing good, Donnie. How are you doing, man?
Good, good. Now, what is your wheelhouse when it comes to the Backyard Brawl? Like, what was your height of fandom and the years that you remember the most?
Probably the Dan Marino years, unfortunately, because of my age.
Okay, I'm going to go a little bit before that with this question here, Greg. And you got your chance to win some tickets for a big event tomorrow night. In 1970, West Virginia blew a 35-8 halftime lead to lose the Backyard Brawl 36-35. Who was the head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers?
Oh, hell. Oh, man. I honestly don't know. I thought his first name was Don, but I can't.
Now, it is not a Don, unfortunately. That is a great name.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Greg,
it is.
I appreciate you taking the time. I appreciate the call. It is a pretty notable coach. I'll give that clue. It's not some no-name. I'm not trying to have a gotcha question here with this. 412-928-9370 for your chance to win tickets to a big event tomorrow night. Jerry in Greentree is going to be next up. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Donnie. Love the show.
Thank you. Same question to you. Your best era of memory when it comes to the backyard brawl?
Well, the 13-9 game. I mean, that's everything.
I'm going to ask a question. Well, see, the question I have from that game is too easy. I'm going to ask one from a little bit before that. This will be from the late 90s. But it sounds like you were around to watch those games as well. Would that be correct?
That's correct. I didn't get to see Bobby Bowden coach him, though.
Pitt won a triple overtime thriller in the 1997 edition of the Backyard Brawl. Walt Harris's first year as Pitt Panthers head coach. But this West Virginia quarterback, who later had a nice little NFL career, had nearly 350 yards in a losing effort.
Mark Bulger.
Yes, sir. Jerry, we're putting you on hold, pal. You have won yourself tickets to the Outlaw Music Festival. Limits, it's our guy Jerry on line three with the correct answer of Mark Bulger.
Nice round of applause for you.
Yes. He said that with confidence, too. That was good. He also, he subtly snuck in there. He knew that first question I posed. I don't know if you heard him. You were taking some calls.
He got Bobby Bowden right away.
Did you know that beforehand?
Off the top of my head, no. But as soon as I saw it, I should have.
Yeah, so I had some recollect. Like, I knew that he had coached there. I couldn't remember what years. Obviously, it was long ago because he's more remembered for the longevity at Florida State. But when I had Bill Hillgrove on the show the other night, he brought up that game and talked about Bobby Bowden jokingly writing a book after that game about how to coach in the second half. Bowden went on to have a pretty good career, so I don't think that game held him back. But Jerry, congratulations. Austin's getting your info now. 412-928-9370. If you just want to give your piece on the backyard brawl, do you think West Virginia is Pitt's biggest rival? Or do you think it's Penn State? Do you think it's somebody else? I put Notre Dame out there, but I've come to the conclusion pretty quickly that Notre Dame is just hated by everybody, which is fine in my book. We'll go to Morgantown for this one. Mike is on the fan. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to give the West Virginia perspective because I think you guys are confusing hatred of other teams, kind of like you just mentioned with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Versus true rivalries. I mean, West Virginia hates Penn State, but most of the time, pretty much all the time, we lose to Penn State. So if we beat Penn State, it's an amazing thing. We always root against it. We hate Notre Dame. When they announced that I was at the Mountaineer game last week, and when they announced Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois, the place erupted.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we erupt the same way for Pitt, but we hate Pitt, too, and I think Pitt hates West Virginia. And to be a rivalry, you've got to have it both ways. Penn State looks down their nose at both West Virginia and at Pitt because they own us most of the time. And we love beating them, but we just don't do it very often. Whereas Pitt West Virginia always is a battle. The series going back 100 years is almost dead even. It's just a fun rivalry. We're an hour and a half from each other. It's what makes it great. So I don't know. Just be careful confusing hating other teams. I mean, we hate Notre Dame. We hate Oklahoma. We hate Texas, although we'll probably hate those less now that they're no longer in the Big 12. But we hate them because they're good all the time, and it pisses us off that they win.
Mike, I think you make some fantastic points there, and I had something pop into my head during that call, so I appreciate you calling from enemy territory because you did lay it out there well, not to confuse hate with rivalries. You know what it made me think of, Austin? As a Steeler fan, we can obviously relate to this. This is like Notre Dame, maybe Penn State. That's how we viewed the Patriots for such a long time.
Exactly.
But think about last year. The Steelers played the Patriots. That didn't feel like a big game.
No. Like, growing up, we hated the Patriots. Tom Brady.
There was no team in sports I hated more.
None. I 100% agreeance because they dominated everybody. I mean, they probably cheated their way to do it. Well, I mean, it was proven with Deflategate,
right.
Spygate, and whatnot. You hated New England, but I feel like you respect Baltimore. You respected the Ravens. Like, I remember when Ryan Shazier got hurt Monday night, just the just sadness that came on about it. And Baltimore the next week, moment of silence before their game. I think it was against the Steelers, just to pay some respect to Shazier and his injury that he was fighting back from. I've all, just in a lot of instances with the Steelers and the Ravens play, there's a lot of mutual respect there. That was not the case with the Patriots.
Yeah, so I think that was like the epiphany I just had during that call, because that is the same sort of feeling. Like my feeling toward a program like Notre Dame, that's how I felt pretty much my whole childhood and up through my, you know, into my early adult years about the Patriots. And now it's like, if you put the Patriots on the Steelers schedule, obviously it's like I'm not going to watch the game or be interested, but it has nowhere near the juice because Brady's gone, Belichick's gone, Big Ben's retired. Like, it is nowhere near the same way. So I thank Mike again for that call, because I do think those were some great points. Not to confuse the hatred with a rival. It's just, I feel like with a rivalry, you just get hatred. But on both sides of this thing, I do think there's an appreciation that the rivalry is at least there. Like, both sides love that they get to consume the backyard brawl every calendar year.
Well, Pitt and West Virginia fans, I mean, you're right. They completely adore this rivalry. They think it should be. Here's what's telling. Pitt and West Virginia fans think that this should be an every year occurrence. Neil Brown thinks that this should be an every year occurrence. Pat Narduzzi agrees that this should be an every year occurrence. And Narduzzi even said it should be the day after Thanksgiving. Make it a big holiday celebration. I'm in 100% agreeance on it. Make it a big blowout at the very end of the year, or it's just a celebration of college football. And to be honest with you, Donnie, look at the NFL. They add a 17th game. They're going to add a night. They're going to add an 18th game. If you're college football, when do you think about adding a 13th game and making it our designated rivalry week? Mm-hmm. Where maybe Pitt and West Virginia falls into this category, or they schedule that as a regular non-conference game, and it allows Pitt and Penn State to play every year. It allows some of those rivalries that are lost in the Pac-12 because of a conference realignment to be able to play once again, so that there's not jeopardy over having those rivalries again. Why doesn't college football do that? Especially because they're paying the players now. Just pay them a little bit more.
I heard you bring that up last week with Joe. We can get into that a little bit more coming up next. I also want to keep taking your calls, your thoughts. One day away, we are on the eve of the Backyard Brawl, Pitt and West Virginia tomorrow, 3:30. 50-minute mark on the Fan. That's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Donnie Football in for Joe this morning. Ray Fittipaldo coming up in a little bit. 10 to 15 minutes from now, we will chat with the longtime Steelers reporter from the Post-Gazette. Steelers getting set for their second game. They head to Denver this weekend, a 4:25 kick on Sunday. We will have pregame coverage here on 93.7 The Fan. Odd time. Pirates are still in season. Our pregame will be before anyone else's, however, 9 to 12. I'm going to have to wake up Mark Cabali in his Denver hotel room to hop on. It'll be like 6 a.m. Denver time, and he'll have to hop on and join me Sunday morning, but you can listen to that right here on 93.7 The Fan. You can also listen on your Odyssey app. Austin, I wanted to get back to the point that you brought up, college football eventually adding just an extra week, because already paying the players, it's already on the doorstep of being a professional league as is. It would get the players more accustomed to playing a fuller schedule like what the NFL is. The NFL soon enough going to be 18 games. I think we're only a few years away from that. So there's going to be even more of a gap if they never add another game. I mean, if they keep it at, let's say, 12, these guys will be expected the next season to make a six-game jump, a third of the season, more than what they're used to. And if they end up being a rookie that plays in playoff games, they would play in nearly double the amount of games that they play in college. I think it makes a lot of sense all around. Well, I like where your head's at here.
Think about this too, Donnie. Let's say you're a playoff team in college football this year, and let's say you don't get a first-round bye with 12 teams. Let's say you're the 5 seed. Let's say you're Oregon, and you get the 5 seed or the 6 seed, and you're a player for Oregon who plays 12 regular season games. Let's say you go hypothetically all the way to the national championship. You play your 12 games. You play a 13th game in the first round of that playoffs. Then you go and play a semifinals game. You play 14 games. Then you play in the national championship game. You're playing 15 games compared to the 4-team playoff. With the extended playoff, there's obviously more rounds, more matchups, more teams. Why not add that one more regular season game? What does the... If you're adding more playoff games, what's the ultimate effect on all the programs that play one more regular season game? The jump from high school is like 10 games to 12 right now, and then a little bit more if you play in the playoffs, bowl game, etc. The 13th game just makes so much more sense to me. Like, why not? It makes financial sense. Maybe you compensate the players a little bit more. It's a good. You can sell it as a good adjustment to the NFL. And people want these rivalries back with conference realignment. This is your way to do it. This is the blueprint.
I mean, it's easy money, too. I mean, and that's the big thing that any sport is going to chase. Obviously, college football, college football is the only thing behind the NFL in overall viewership, because people in this country just consume and love football that much that it's printing money if you would bring that extra week in where it was just nothing but rivalries. Now, we know that some schools have those already worked in, but if you made it a designated week, soon enough, there's only going to be two power conferences anyway.
Yeah, it'll be the SEC and the Big Ten.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you get a third one. I don't know how it's going to shake out, but we are not far away from that. Like, we are not far away from what the NFL setup already is. It'll just be more teams.
It'll be the AFC and the NFC, except it'll be the Big Ten. It'll be the SEC. There'll be divisional format, divisional play. So, hell, maybe you get a Pitt, West Virginia, Penn State division. I think that is maybe not a possibility, but it's also hindsight 2020, not something that will probably happen, but maybe Notre Dame gets thrown in there geographically. Will Cincinnati, a Big 12 school, hold on? That's the other thing. How many teams are going to be cut out of this? Is it going to be 40 teams?
Right.
45, 50 teams that are included in this mega conference? All questions for down the road.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think we're super far away from it, for sure. I mean, given the way that college football is going, I don't think it's that far down the road.